A constitutional amendment on the ballot in November will decide if the office of sheriff is enshrined in the Kansas Constitution. Ellis County Sheriff Scott Brown and Graham County Sheriff Cole Presley stopped by to discuss the proposal on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Currently, sheriffs, just like any other county elected office, exist in statute, which means that the legislature, whether they're moved to by their own constituents or decide to as a whole in Topeka, can change statute, provided that they have the majority to do that. Anything that's placed into the Constitution is protected by the voting electorate unless the voting electorate concedes to that. So our goal in seeing this amendment pass is to ensure that sheriffs in every county, or the 104 counties that have a sheriff, continue to elect their sheriff unless the voting public of the state of Kansas as a whole decides to change the Constitution later. It provides another barrier that requires each county to continue to elect who their sheriff is. And that's the crux of what we're working to preserve, is to make sure that the people always have a say in who their chief law enforcement officer is.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, the takeaway, functionally, if you want to keep things the way they are and ensure that they stay the way they are, vote yes.
Correct.
Correct.
If you prefer that departments can consolidate or change or really eliminate that position altogether, you can vote no. Correct. And it doesn't mean that they will, just that they have the option. The legislature could, or a county government could do that, right?
Which has been one of the questions that has come up quite a bit, is what happens if we vote no? What happens the next day? Well, absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing immediately changes if this amendment does not pass. In the future, it becomes or remains easier to change the structure of government simply by moving the legislature to do that. This adds one more level of change before that could occur. And again, we're talking about the structure of county government, not who those officers are. That always remains at the
Yeah, and a no vote actually allows the possibility of a charter, which means that the lead officer of that county could be decided by a person that is a board, basically, and appoints a person who will be that county law enforcement person. It will not be a sheriff. It will be, well, it could be a sheriff or a chief, whatever they want to call it, director of law enforcement or whatever it would be. But that would be appointed, and that would be taken away potentially from the people, and the people wouldn't have a voice. And that's our main goal, is to ensure that the citizens of whatever county across the state of Kansas have a voice to elect their elected sheriff. And whoever that is, and I want to reiterate, it's not about Cole or I or any other sitting sheriffs currently. It's about the office of the sheriff. And every 4 years, the people of that community have an opportunity to vote in who they want as the head law enforcement, chief law enforcement officer of that county. So, it's been very interesting. And, you know, I've done a couple of talks, and by the time it was done, as Sheriff Presley stated, it's not as confusing as people make it. It's pretty straightforward. And you stated it best earlier, if you want to elect your sheriff and you want to secure that within the Constitution, then vote yes. If you don't want to, you either vote no or you don't, or leave it blank, and it will stay the same. There has been some push in the past, especially on the eastern part of the state, of removing the sheriff as an elected position. And it's concerning, because we believe that it is important to have a sheriff, because we directly answer to the citizens of that county. And that's key right there. We don't have anybody in between us, not the Board of Commission, not a committee, or if it's a charter, none of those stand in between us. We directly answer to the people of that county. And that's what we believe in.
Yeah, and as I recall from the last conversation, this also keeps in place that ability for the voters to recall that sheriff, which, yes, I think is another important piece of this, right?
Well, you won't find bigger advocates than elected sheriffs that say that bad sheriff should remove from office. And the reason is, when something bad in law enforcement occurs, it affects all law enforcement. Ferguson, Missouri is a great example of that, that started a national dialogue over an event that was not impactful to Western Kansas at all, except that you began to see every law enforcement officer wear body cams shortly after that. So that's why we always talk about those negative impacts that can reach beyond that. So yes, absolutely, bad sheriffs should be removed from office. So the citizens still gain the ability to hold a recall election. Ouster still exists. It just simply exists with the attorney general and not with the county attorney, who's a professional peer of the sheriff and elected at that same level. And you can always, you know, vote for a different candidate every 4 years. This doesn't keep the same guy in office at all, nor should it ever.
So all the checks and balances are still in place as they stand. It's just moved a couple of to a different person that would oversee the removal of that or file those, the attorney general's office. And I might add that wasn't just decided by the Sheriff's Association to get that written into there. There was actually, between the district and the county attorneys, they all agreed with it. The board, at a loss of words, their association agreed that was a good practice. So we didn't go out and just randomly come up with this idea. We did our homework. We spoke with them prior to, and they're in support of that also.
Okay. You know, I think maybe it's important to note, because there is one exception. We talked a little bit about this last time. That's Riley County. They currently don't have a sheriff. And I think that really their impact is important to know, because it does potentially impact them. As it stands, it wouldn't, though, right?
Right. They've been accepted out of it. And the way that the bill is written, which adds to the confusion in the language, I think, but it's the way that it's written is because they exist as a countywide police department now, they've been exempted. Now, there's language in there that if for any reason Riley County should choose to elect their sheriff again, then they're bound by the constitutional amendment there in Article 9 and would have to, from that point forward, retain a sheriff. Our position there, when we pursued that, was recognizing the fact that they've had a county police department for 40 years. We didn't want to get into the dialogue of whether we believed that was the right form of government or not. We felt like that was going to become a distraction. So we set that aside and exempted that out. Interestingly enough, some of the opposition has come from Riley County legislatures or Riley County political activists, even though this immediate impact won't affect them at all. But in the end, back to local control and voters say so, it's up to the citizens of Riley County whether they want a sheriff or not at this point.
And there was dialogue with them prior to getting this written up also. As I said earlier, KSA did their job in regards to reaching out to those, and Riley County was one of them. In fact, Sheriff Presley was one of them that sat down and spoke with the director about this prior to moving forward.
We did. We drove and sat down in front of the man in person to make sure he knew we weren't trying to change Riley County at all.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, having that local control really seems to be the crux of the thing. And if you came in and said, well, except for you guys, that kind of seems counter to the whole spirit of the measure.
Well, I would certainly raise an eyebrow if I was a Riley County citizen and saw a constitutional amendment that wasn't going to affect me or my rights, but that's a separate a separate conversation. But they've had that system for a long time. It's up to them whether they want to change it or not, and we didn't feel like as an association or as a group of sheriffs statewide that we had any business sticking our nose in what they built. So.
Yeah. You know, Scott, as we were getting ready to go on, we talked a little bit about really this bill hasn't generated a whole lot of controversy or conversation. Do you think that that's a function of people just generally don't know, or are they just like, this is a no-brainer, obviously we should elect our sheriffs?
Well, I don't know if it's that they don't understand the bill and what's going to happen, or if it's just that clear. And one of the interesting thing is, so the Sheriff's Association, we've never really had anything this large across the state, so we're trying to gauge that a little bit. Some of the residents of Ellis County have reached out to me, and I've had the opportunity to speak at least a couple of different locations and civic organizations. And by the time I was done with that and explained it, they were very thankful, and there was no question that they were on board with a yes vote once it was explained to them. You know, it's clear to Sheriff Presley and I, because we read laws every day, and when you get into how amendments and those types of things are written, they sometimes get confusing, because if you don't work in that world, you may misinterpret what is being written within that. I feel that this bill is pretty straightforward, and it's but again, I'm maybe a little bit biased because I've been involved in it for a while. So I would encourage anyone to reach out to your local sheriff. They have been had the opportunity to read it, and they do the same thing that we do. And also, we've had a little bit of time where sheriffs met across the state, and we talked about the bill and the amendment high points and low points and what the concerns may be. And so they're fairly versed in it, and they can probably help anybody that has a question. So I would encourage them to reach out to the local sheriff. And if they're not satisfied with that, I know that I will take phone calls, and I know that Sheriff Presley would take phone calls.
Absolutely.
To answer any questions, not to sway anybody, but just to answer the questions, and hopefully they can make an educated decision.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about, for the those that maybe have exposed or expressed an opinion that they are not necessarily in favor of this, what are those arguments? Or are you even hearing those?
So we are, and not necessarily from out in this part of the state. You know, and we talked about that last time before, that we anticipated the opposition was going to come from eastern Kansas. And what we've seen, and it's largely existed in editorials that have been in the Wichita Eagle, Topeka, Capital Journal, and even the Kansas City Star, their concern is this. This impacts their home rule argument. The problem with that is the home rule argument deals with the structure of local government, not who those officials are. Johnson County is the only county in Kansas right now who can even exercise that home rule charter as it exists now. That's it. They're the only ones. None of the other counties that have our big populace even have a home rule charter. That home rule charter allows them to change that structure of government. What's interesting is every one of those changes has existed to remove the number or reduce the number of elected officials within their county. So the biggest, most populous county in the state is working to have less elected representation than anyone else.
But just to add, I remember this from the last conversation, those positions are not eliminated. They still have them. They're just not elected anymore.
That's correct. Yeah. They're appointed. And so now you have clerks and treasurers, and the goal 2 years ago was for the sheriff to answer to a county manager, and it looks more like a municipal government than a county government. And so they're not losing the sheriff, but the people are losing the ability to choose who that sheriff is and are solely trusting 3 to 7 county commissioners, depending on your county size, to select the right person versus the voter making that decision themselves. That's what we're working against. And their accusation that this impacts home rule is absolutely correct. If we put sheriffs on the Constitution, they can use home rule to restructure every other position in government except the county sheriff. They will have to elect that person.
And they have done that in Johnson County. They've removed the treasurer that's an appointed position, the clerk, and the registered deeds. They're already appointed at this point in time. So the only one elected right now currently is the sheriff in that county. So,
and there's been conversations to change that as well, right? And I think it really stems from, love him or hate him, they have a pretty controversial sheriff out there right now, right at the moment.
Well, in the media, that's certainly the picture that has been painted. That he's a controversial figure, which can happen within local or state or even federal level politics. That's some of the way that goes. I'm not going to comment one way or the other on Sheriff Hayden and the job that he does or doesn't do. But we still go back to the people elected him to hold that office, just like I and Scott were elected to hold our offices. And if the voters are upset with what he's doing, they can make their voices known through any of the mechanisms to get him out of office if they're that upset. I don't know a better way to explain it than that, because it still comes back to voter's choice. If they don't like what's happening, you'll know in 2 years. If they're okay with it, you'll know in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we've been able to show law enforcement support across the state is the FOP is supporting this constitutional bill. The Chiefs of Police organization across the state, as well as the Kansas Police Officers Association, also are supporting this. That means a lot to the Sheriff's Association, simply because we all work together and we're brothers in blue. And if they're supporting it, they must see that it's needed also, and are supporting that with a yes vote. So
that certainly helps a lot. And when we look at the changes to ouster and moving that from the county attorneys to the attorney general, when you have the support not only of the attorney general for that measure, but the county and district attorneys who are essentially losing a power and saying, yeah, we're good with it, move it to the attorney general. That to us was one of those measurements that says, yeah, we're striking the right tone with this and moving in the right direction. That's helped quite a bit.
Yeah. And I believe that if there was a strong opposition to this move, that we'd be seeing and hearing it. And there's just, you know, as you said, there's not a lot of those conversations being had out there. There are some, but it doesn't seem like this one. And maybe it's just in light of the other constitutional amendment that's out there, or the last one that we had that was so big and controversial. Maybe this one just kind of pales in that comparison, but it just seems like it's flying under the radar.
Well, you also have to consider there's a governor's race and there's an attorney general's race. And those things are going on. And as important as we believe this is, we are not that important.
I would argue that this may be way far more important than those other races.
So, and we'd love to do that, but we're also not running for governor, and we're not going to get in the way of those things.
Probably not the same kind of money that's going on in a governor's race either.
Nowhere near any of that at all.
But I would agree with you also. I think that your local elections always within your community way more than on the state level most of the time. Yes, the state affects our locals in the tax brackets and things of that nature. But as a general rule, you deal with your local elected persons much, much more than you're going to. It's not like you're going to pick up the phone and call the governor and have a discussion with them or the attorney general as a general rule. So it does have a great impact, especially your election of your local sheriff has a great impact on how things are.
You'll certainly feel the impact more at the local level through your local leaders than you ever.